The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockIn. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we are catching up with Sean Gregory. Sean is Chief Executive Officer of the WA and North Queensland gold explorer Great Southern Mining. Great Southern trades under the code GSN, or Gold Sierra November, to be sure. It was last trading at 8.2 cents for a market cap of about 34 million. There's lots to talk about with this one across three key projects: Cox's Find and Monami in the prolific Laverton region of WA, and of course the North Queensland project. Interest in the stock was piqued recently by some spectacular high-grade hits at Cox's Find, which sits on the Duketon Greenstone Belt. Best results included 5.6 metres at 80 grams a tonne and 1.1 metre at 404 grams a tonne. And so what's that? Roughly 13 ounces of gold, if you don't mind. Cox's Find was a high-grade producer in the late 1930s and early 1940s under WMC. It produced a reported 77,000 ounces of gold at a grade of 22 grams a tonne. It's worth noting it's just along strike from the Regis Resources multi-million ounce Garden Well gold mine, so bulk tonnage, lower grade potential is also of interest. As we know, the market loves high-grade gold stories. The success and subsequent takeovers of Spectrum and Egan Street come to mind, where new life was found at and along strike from historic operations. And there's also some news out today on drilling about to resume at Cox's Find. So, as I mentioned, lots to talk about. With that, I welcome Sean to the podcast. Hi, Sean, and thanks for your time today.
Hello, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Great. Now, Sean, it'd be great if you could we could start out by getting a bit of a professional background on yourself. I notice you signed up as CEO quite recently. So the obvious question there would be, what attracted you to the Great Southern story?
Sure, Barry. Yeah, I've joined Great Southern, been in the chair for 2 months now. My background, more than 20 years experience in the WA mining industry, initially in the iron ore industry with BHP Billiton. But perhaps one of the highlights of my career was General Manager Technical Services with Mineral Resources, ASX-listed mining services company, who also owns several iron ore and lithium mines. After that, I moved to a company called Barra Resources, listed company, where I was Managing Director for 3 years and completed a pre-feasibility study on a cobalt project and also some successful gold exploration around the Coolgardie region. But coming now to Great Southern Mining, this is my second effort as a CEO of a listed enterprise. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited about the assets that we've got at Great Southern. I think it's a wonderful portfolio of assets, and also the team that I've got behind me is certainly a very capable and sizable team, quality board, and plenty of horsepower in the team to help deliver the results we need.
Okay. Cox's Find, as I said, generated a lot of interest recently. Just what have you got there? Maybe run through some of the results to date and obviously the forward drilling program.
Yeah, so Cox's Find is located just north of Laverton in Western Australia. And Laverton, as you know, is a highly prospective belt. It's a highly productive belt that's produced over 25 million ounces of gold over the years. And Cox's Find is right in the heart of the Duketon Belt, which is mostly controlled by Regis Resources, where they've got some very profitable mines. You mentioned the multi-million ounce Garden Well mine and processing centre, as well as Rosemount and Moolart Well and many others up and down that belt. Our land holding is right in the heart of that country, but in contrast to many of those aforementioned deposits, Cox's Find is a very high-grade system that is quite anomalous for the belt. Historical production is 77,000 ounces at an average grade of 22 grams per tonne. And the deposit has been in the hands of private prospectors for many decades, and there has been some small-scale open pit mining and some heap leaching and so forth. But really, over the last 30 years, there hasn't been any systematic exploration, and that's what we're now doing for the first time.
Right. The you mentioned it was in private hands. The acquisition was made last year, was it?
Yeah, that's correct. We brought it into the Great Southern stable in late 2018. And our maiden drilling campaign, well, we did some drilling in 2019 and also 2020. And through that drilling, we've had some outstanding successes. You mentioned some of the very high-grade hits. We've had the excitement of the visible gold. What we've been able to demonstrate is that that wasn't just a nugget effect, but we've got at least five bonanza grade hits into one unmined panel down at level 5 and 6 that the old timers have left behind for us. So some of the, you mentioned the highlight, 5 metres at 80 grams, including a metre at 404 grams per tonne. There's plenty of other 5 metre hits in that same panel running up in the double digit grams per tonne. Our objective now is to see if we can find the extension to that system. And we've just put out an announcement today and very pleased to announce that we're back out. We're about to head back out drilling at Cox's Find. We've got a drill rig booked for the first week of December, and we're endeavouring to chase that system both at depth and then also step out 400 metres to the south and 1,000 metres to the north, where we've got some targets that we're quite excited about, where we've got the same stratigraphy and the same structure that is certainly worthy of drill testing.
Yeah, well done on securing the rig. I'm hearing it's getting increasingly difficult to secure one. Some people are telling me they can secure a rig but not the crew to man it. So good luck with the first week of December.
Yeah, look, we're very pleased there. We've got a great relationship with our drilling contractor, PXD, and really pleased that they've agreed to come on and do it at the same terms and conditions from earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. That's why it's really important that you maintain your relationships with your suppliers and look after them, and then they'll be there to help you when at times like this when we really need them.
Mm. I mentioned before, from my reading, I got the sense that Cox's Find is not just about high-grade shoots along strike or at depth. There's also a bulk lower-grade scenario potential there, is it?
Yeah, look, that relates to our Monomy project, which is about 20 kilometres south of Laverton. And that project is a really interesting story. I think one of the things about all of our projects is there is this key strategic link with nearby hungry neighbours. So at Cox's Find, the hungry neighbour is Regis, and wouldn't they love to have some high grade to blend in with their low grade? At Monomy, the hungry neighbour is the Granny Smith Mill, which is only 10 kilometres away, owned by Goldfields Australia. And there, as their miners progressed underground, their feed tonnages have dropped off, and they're presently operating at about half the capacity of that mill. So any feed would be good feed for them, and Monomy certainly fits the description, with us having a 1.1 million tonne at 1.7 grams per tonne for 59,000 ounces of inferred mineral resources, and like I said, only 10 kilometres from Granny Smith. Now, we don't have any deal in place with Granny Smith, but our objective is to make it as easy as possible as we can to make it a walk-up start and a shovel-ready project. And that's really where my background comes into play as an experienced project developer that's been lucky enough to be involved in opening and closing large mines and small. We've mapped out the steps that need to be done. So we'll be going through and doing, we've actually got a heritage survey underway as we speak on the site, and they're not only surveying the where we want to drill, but also where we want to mine and where we've designed a haul road. We're working through all, come up with a plan for all of our biological surveys and all of those technical studies, geotech, hydrogeology, Whittle shell optimizations, a resource upgrade, and so forth. And for a pretty modest expenditure and something that we don't see as a major distraction to our exploration mandate, we believe we can get a shovel-ready mine approved, certainly in 2021 next year. And we believe that's a value-adding step and could be a very useful source of cash flow to fund our exploration mandate, both at Mon-A-Me at depth and elsewhere.
So that near-term production push very much focused on Mon-A-Me, whereas Cox's Find is a bit more step back. Let's see how big this thing might be.
Yeah, correct. So Cox's Find is very much a extension and discovery play. We haven't declared a mineral resource on Cox's Find as yet. We think there's more drilling to be done to expand that mineralisation, and that's what we're doing. So it's still some work ahead of us at Cox's Find, and we think there's still a lot of large discovery potential there for high grade that we're chasing. Beyond the main mining lease itself, we're also pleased to report that we've secured a first-in-time application for 50 square kilometres surrounding the Cox's Find mine. And we put out an announcement on that last week, which identified that that landholding has all three of the main structures of the Dukenham Belt charging through the tenement. And we're pushing that one through to grant as quickly as we possibly can, because the review of the historical exploration data suggests that there are some drill-ready targets that have fallen straight out of that ground. So we'll be looking to get that one granted as soon as we can, and again, more opportunities to go and find some high-grade gold deposits right in the heart of the Dukenham Belt.
I saw that one. I must admit, I wondered how could that be possible with the gold market as hot as it is, that there's vacant land there.
And I'm happy to explain that to you, Barry, as well. Look, this isn't ground like that that's just sitting there vacant, but very, happy to inform you how that came about. It was quite a sort of complex arrangement where a company called Stone Resources was looking to divest their Ben Hur deposit, and which was a successful transaction where they sold their Ben Hur deposit to Regis Resources for $10 million. And through that process, we were able to insert ourselves into that process and facilitate that deal, which enabled Regis to secure the Ben Hur deposit and enabled us to pick up what we think is the jewel in the crown. By enabling that deposit to happen, we ended up getting the exploration ground.
So in a sense then, is it fair enough to say that Great Southern's acting as a quasi exploration arm for Regis in the area?
Well, yeah, look, there's no formal relationships in place, but look, I really see our gold exploration industry as being a very collegiate industry. I've just come back from Diggers and Dealers, and certainly without the East Coast brokers there and so forth, I think Diggers took on a more collegiate nature than perhaps would normally be the case. And I just found it wonderful to the amount of support and cooperation that we had from all of the exploration managers from all of the different companies. Ultimately, we all want to see the industry succeed. And if people are discovering gold deposits and you look at the success, you mentioned a couple, Egan Street, Spectrum, success like that is good for everybody. It's good for the industry. You look at the success of De Grey, for example, the Havieran deposit, up in the Paterson province. And all of these success stories, I think, are giving credibility to the industry. And I think that everybody in the industry would love to see more discoveries happen. And if Great Southern makes them, everybody wins.
You're spot on there about discovery, and it's lit the gold sector up for investors with De Grey and Havieron, et cetera. I was wondering, do you see any challenge from this, the gold price in the wake of the US election with that $50 dump, but then kind of stabilising? Do you see any threat in the medium term for investor interest in the sector? Would you expect gold to maintain current levels?
Yeah, look, gold has obviously enjoyed a wonderful rise over the last couple of years, and the uncertainty associated with the pandemic and so forth has seen the gold price maintain those high levels. But truth be told, it actually did rise up well before that. And I think that gold is the staple of a value store right across our economy. We've got low interest rates here to stay for many, many years. People have got to store their wealth somewhere, and there isn't a safer place to store it than gold. And look, there was a little, with the US election now behind us, I think that's positive for the world economy generally, but in a world of low interest rates, which I think are here to stay for several years, gold has got a very bright future.
Right. Now, I mentioned earlier a North Queensland project. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, so that's our third major project. As we discussed, two projects in the Laverton district in Western Australia, and our third core project is up in the North Queensland district. We've got 1,000 square kilometres completely surrounding Evolution's Mount Carlton mine just near Townsville. Now, it's worth touching on the way that that ground acquisition came about. Our chairman, Mr. John Turpu, was previously the managing director of Conquest Mining.
All
that
right.
10 years ago made the discovery of Mount Carlton. And as it turns out, Conquest then became Evolution Mining. So John stepped off the board, Jake Klein stepped in, the company changed its name to Evolution, but it's actually the same ABN.
Mm-hmm.
But through that success, obviously John has had some money to come on board as our major shareholder and have a second go at it, but also the knowledge that he acquired around the potential of that district and the contacts in the geological community up that way meant that John was able to assemble that 1,000 square kilometres over the ensuing years and bring them into Great Southern. So we've put on place, we just hired a Argentinian geologist who's an expert in these intrusive related gold systems. He's full-time on the ground in Queensland and he's been on board a similar time to myself. We're wrapping teams of soil samplers and geologists around Octavio, and he's out ground-truthing all of those targets on that ground. Some of those targets have come from a hyperspectral survey that was co-funded by Evolution and also through our own soil sampling. We've got a number of targets that are lighting up. And we've set Octavio a task to go through and prioritise and rank all of those targets, and our objective is to have them all drill ready and to be drilling the best of those targets when the wet season breaks by quarter two next calendar year. So that's real elephant country up that part of the world. This isn't a case of drilling a long strike of existing mines like the Cockle Find or taking an oxide gold deposit through a open pit development like we're doing at Monomi. This is real greenfield discovery stuff, but it's a good place to go looking for gold deposits because typically, they're more than 1 million ounces, so that's defined.
Yeah, it's interesting. When you look at the company's market cap, justifiable on WA assets, obviously, do you think there's much in the current market cap for the Queensland project?
Yeah, look, I think the way to look at it, and I think the way that it's priced into our share price, it's pretty well a bonus. Is the way I would look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Way that we're deploying our capital across our different projects, probably most of our drilling capital over the summer will be going into the Laverton projects as we work up those targets in the background at Queensland. So I think you're quite right, that hasn't really hit the radar, but with a full-time exploration manager on the ground and two mapping crews supporting him, investors can look forward to that taking a more prominent role in our promotion and in our market capitalisation.
Mm-hmm. And sorry, just in terms of drilling, that's first half of next year, calendar year potentially?
Yeah, that's the plan. So, like I say, we've got at least 20 targets that all need to be ground truthed and prioritised and ranked. And the best targets are those. It's our intention. You know, obviously we can't drill when it's raining up in North Queensland in January, February, March. But come April, it's our intention to prioritise the top two or three targets and do some drill testing.
Okay. And the plan is to move forward with those on a 100% basis, or would you look for JV partners?
100% owned. But as I mentioned, I think that is the key, you know, strategic advantage that Great Southern has. Three big gold projects, all with nearby neighbours with hungry mills. So we mentioned that Regis adjacent to Cox's Find, who would love some high grade. We mentioned there's Granny Smith right next to Monami, who would, which is underutilised. And then up in North Queensland, we're right next door to Evolution, who has their Mount Carlton mine. Look, Mount Carlton's been in operation for many years now. It's now a mature mine. It's getting towards the end of its mine life. And so, you know, once again, a discovery there could be the difference between seeing that mill continuing to operate or having to be shuttered.
Right, okay. Well, so just to bring it all together, what should investors look out for, say, over the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, look, with our announcement today that drilling is resuming at Cox's Find, they can look forward to progress updates and results as they come to hand. They can also look forward to a regular news flow around the development piece around Monami. So there'll be regular updates as we tick those boxes, as we complete the heritage, as we complete the environmental surveys, as we complete technical studies, and as we submit our approvals documentation. There's a whole steady flow of news flow that'll play out over the next 6 months. And then that'll nicely lead into the North Queensland piece where there'll be additional drilling being added to the portfolio in about 6 months' time. So I think it's going to be one to watch where I know investors love regular news flow. And look, you know, we have spent a couple of months since I've joined just squaring away the strategy, which is now squared away and approved by the board. But now as I look forward, I think there'll be exciting announcements every 2 or 3 weeks right into the foreseeable future, right through the summer and well into 2021.
Right, okay. Fantastic. All right, very interesting story, Sean. Love the strategy about doing everything up nice and close to some hungry mills to get down that monetization pathway, and lots to look at, forward to on the exploration front, it seems. So with that, I'm going to say thanks for your time today and best of luck with it all.
Yeah, lovely chatting to you, Barry. Thank you very much.